Well, this is the first Sunday of the month, and for this year at least, I have promised you that we would attempt to do a Search the Scriptures on the first Sunday of each month. All right, the first one out of the bag is from October last year. What does the Bible mean when it says, "Give your troubles, worries to God," but elsewhere it says to keep praying until you get an answer? Should we pray about the troubles or just trust God to take care of us? Very good question. We don't have any scripture references here, but we can find a couple of references. So the first one that is more or less quoted, "Give your troubles, worries to God." Anybody want to give me an idea of where you think such a verse would be found? By the way, this is called an interactive Search the Bible time, and so I encourage you to find those references. Thank you. 1 Peter 5. We'll go with this one. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, well, let's go to verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So, the question, what about give your troubles or worries to God? What does that mean? Well, clearly, that is exactly what this passage says, that we are to cast all of our cares upon him. One other verse comes to my mind. Does somebody have another one immediately in mind? Yeah? Thank you. That was the one I was thinking too. Thank you, brother. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So these two verses in particular, and there's others we could find, very clearly do indicate that we should give all of our troubles slash worries to God. But elsewhere, it says to keep praying until you get an answer. All right, this is another opportunity for you. Let's see those hands. Who's got a reference for me? Where does the Bible say, keep praying until you get an answer? Don't give me those blank stares. You should at least be thinking, oh, I know where that is. I just can't find it. Can I see that on your faces? Thank you. It says what? Where is it? In the Bible. Very good. Somebody help her out. Where is it found? I heard a reference. 1 Thessalonians 5. All right, 16 through 18. We'll take all of those because they're all good. That's right. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." Verse 17, which is the verse you had in mind, says, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So verse 17 is our key verse here, pray without ceasing. The Bible does tell us to pray without ceasing. It doesn't necessarily say in this particular place, pray until you get an answer, but it does say to pray without ceasing. So it's kind of implied, but I think we could find something else. We're looking for another verse that's either implies more strongly or says explicitly to pray until you get an answer. The whole chapter, what did you say about the chapter, Matthew, what?
Matthew, I'm not sure about what chapter.
Oh, okay, so I'll just go with all 28 chapters. We'll start at the beginning and work our way through it. Matthew would be a good place for us to look. So you keep hunting until you get me a reference. Somebody else?
Luke 18.
Luke 18. There may be a Matthew parallel there, I'm not sure. Luke 18, 1, and this is one that is more explicit than our last reference. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It says in Luke 18, 1, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." And this particular one, and we're just going to stick with this one because it does a good job of addressing the question at hand. He goes on to give a parable that makes it very clear that we should continue to pray until we get an answer. So let's read this parable. Verse 2, this is Luke 18, verse 2. "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So clearly, the very first verse tells us that the reason Jesus gave this parable is to encourage his followers to pray and not give up. Or we could phrase it this way, to pray until you get an answer. And in this particular case, the parable that he's given is showing that even among those who have no fear of God, persistence has a place. So this persistent widow finally was able to see justice simply because of her persistence. Now, Jesus is not encouraging you and me to be persistent about or against a God who doesn't really want to meet our needs. Matter of fact, he's using that as a very stark contrast. That if the persistence paid off in the case of this persistent widow with an unjust judge who really didn't give a hoot, then how much more can we expect God to answer the prayers of his people when God already loves us so deeply and longs to meet all of our needs? And then he ends with this promise, there will be justice. God will accomplish his work. You will get an answer to prayer. Of course, this also begs another question, and that is, what are we expecting in our answer to prayer? If we are to pray until we get an answer, what does that mean? Does somebody have another verse that's going to help me with that? You got a reference for that? Proverbs is correct. I heard another reference over here, 3, 5, and 6. That's going to be where we're going. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Suzanne's going to explain for us how this particular passage applies to the question of what are we expecting for an answer.
If we trust in the Lord, he will give us an answer. We don't always recognize it, though.
So we may not recognize the answer.
We have to pray that we do.
Well, let me put you on the spot then.
Uh-oh.
If I don't recognize the answer, what should I do?
Continue to pray.
There you go. There's our answer. So the question is, are we supposed to pray until we finally get an answer? And the answer to that one is, yes, we are. And if we don't recognize the answer, then obviously we're going to continue to pray. But as Suzanne has pointed out, we may not always get what it is that we want. So I'm going to take you back to the passage that she gave you. In all your ways acknowledge him, and emphasize that this has to be according to God's will. We are looking for God's will. Somebody give me another reference that is going to help us address wanting God's will as opposed to our own. Yes?
When Jesus was praying in the garden, he says in his prayer, "Not my will, but thy will be done."
Very good. Exactly. And that's a helpful passage for us. That's in 6:10. Matthew 6:10. Okay, well, that one does apply. Okay, this is within the Lord's Prayer. That's not the reference we were talking about, but it does say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I heard another reference here. What? Luke 22:42. This is going to be the garden prayer, and that's the one that we were just discussing that Shirley came up with. Luke 22:42, verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So that's the reference that Shirley was addressing. Somebody gave me a 1 Peter or 2 Peter over here. Who was that? 1 Timothy 2, and what's the verse? 1 through 6? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Okay, this certainly implies that we need to continue in prayer and gives us some specific things to pray for. And specifically, we're talking about government leaders, for example, and others who are in positions of leadership. This does not necessarily address the fact that you may get an answer that is not the answer that you're looking for, but it's still an answer. 1 John 5. Let's let Pastor Caleb read those verses for me.
John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. A little bit more unpacking is needed, but I think that this is the direction.
Thank you. So the unpacking that is needed here is that clearly the key to an answer of prayer is that we are praying according to God's will. And if we pray according to his will, then we can be confident that he hears us. Well, that, of course, begs the question, how do we know when we're praying according to God's will? Which is a pretty straightforward answer. Somebody want to tell me what that is? It's going to be found here. This tells us what God's will is, so we need to be praying according to this. So if you are saying, Lord, please help me win the lottery when I waste my money buying these lottery tickets, that is probably not going to be something that you're going to get the answer you're hoping for. As a matter of fact, you may find yourself so short of funds that you have to go back and reevaluate your paradigm for life and conclude that maybe it's not a good idea for me to be throwing my money away on something that is just a get-rich-quick scheme that is not going to pay off. Maybe I need to find out what God says about how to handle my finances, in which case you have now received an answer to your prayer. Your answer to the first prayer was, no, I'm not going to give you what you're asking for. But the second answer is, now you're starting to seek me, which is what really is what prayer is all about. Prayer is about seeking God. If we're asking for things, then we're asking for the wrong thing. We need to be asking about a relationship. We need to be seeking God's will. We need to say, I want to draw closer to you, whatever that may be. Ty.
I think it's in 2 Thessalonians. I can't remember exactly where it's at. But it says to wash our minds with the washing of the water of the word so that we can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So to know God's will, we need to wash our minds with the washing of the water of the word.
Is that Peter?
Romans 12:1.
Romans 12. Part of that was Romans 12. And what else? Is that what you said? The washing of the water through the word, I'm sure that's Peter. But if you find me the Romans passage, I'm wanting to know that one too. That's not the washing of the water through the word, is it? Huh. Well, in that case, I was wrong.
I thought it was in Thessalonians, but I could be wrong.
Well, Ephesians is a lot closer to Thessalonians than mine was. Ephesians 5:20. Oh, okay, so this is after using the husband-wife relationship. He talks about washing in the water with the word. Yeah, okay. Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Okay, thank you. That is the reference that you were quoting there, Ephesians 5:26. And certainly, I would agree, it is the word of God that is going to sanctify us. It is also going to sanctify our prayers. A sanctified prayer is a prayer that is consistent with what God wants. And that's what God desires from all of us, is for us to have that kind of a desire to be close to him in all of our requests. So, our question again. What does the Bible mean when it says, give your troubles, worries to God, but elsewhere it says, keep praying until you get an answer? Should we pray about the troubles or just trust God to take care of us? And the answer is yes. Because that really is. I mean, we got to do both, right? We don't have to have one or the other.